This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here at Money, Riches, and Wealth. Mr. Living Well, Tommaso Vincenzo Giuseppe Bonvissuto.
Thank you.
How am I doing?
You're doing great.
I'm getting better at it every day, aren't I?
You've been practicing.
I have been practicing. You just came back from vacation.
I did. A little trip to Florida.
Trip to southern Italy,
that's
Calabria.
Right. Yeah, down there. That's
where your family's from, sort of,
well,
right?
A little further south and west in Sicily.
So. Well, you know, you're not Italian if you're Sicilian.
Yeah, that's right, you're Sicilian.
You know, there are two schools on that. You know, the Sicilians who don't want to be Italians mm-hmm. and the Italians that don't want Sicilians to be Italian.
That's
so
right.
There's
right.
two different schools on
that's
that.
Right. There's always two points of view.
That's true. Anyway, you had a good time?
We had a great time.
You guys usually do. Yeah. Anyway, we have a guest tonight, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We've got Kevin Bress back. He's popular. The phones usually light up when he's here because people want to talk to him and ask questions.
Kevin's popular on WCBM. He's been on WCBM many times. Sunday morning, if I'm not mistaken. I'm usually out working in the yard when he was talking on Sunday morning, but most of our listeners on WCBM know Kevin Bress. He's an elder care estate planning attorney.
Yep.
Do we really need to give you any further introduction?
I'm enjoying it. Keep going. Yeah. I love it.
Building him up. You see his head's getting bigger. And so.
Keep reading off what I gave you.
Yeah, right. You didn't give me anything. It's part of the problem. Anyway, so we've worked with Kevin for, what, about almost 20 years now. Right?
At least. I think 92-ish.
You were actually in Bel Air in your own kind of little self-employed company, and you merged with a local firm down here in Towson, and that's when you and I got to know each other. Well, we knew each other up in Bel Air, and then you said you were going to merge down here.
Great memory, that's right. It was actually Havity Grace where I grew up, as I set up a little office up there.
So you and Cal are best friends, and you and I and Cal are going to go out to dinner next week?
Taught him everything he knows.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So Kevin's going to answer questions about elder care planning for the most part.
Right.
But we're also open to talk about estate planning. So we're going to open the lines up tonight, 410-922-6680. But we're only going to talk on elder care, which means, you know, if you need assisted living or nursing home and the bills are racking up and you're wondering how you're going to pay these bills and so forth. And can you get government assistance? And the answer is much more yes than most people realize.
Right.
And a lot of people are making a major mistake by not coming to somebody like Kevin and saying, what can I do? Because the government laws are very specific, and they're not as complicated and difficult to get around if you understand the system and how it works. And so I would encourage you that if you have this kind of situation going on with a parent or with your own situation, you might want to call in and ask whatever questions you like, 410-922-6680. Or if you want to talk about estate planning, maybe you've got a will question or a power of attorney question or a trust question. Those are the kinds of things that Kevin is extremely qualified and well trained in. And so if you want to call in and ask a question, it's 410-922-6680. What was the name of your show on Sunday morning?
It was Planning Perspectives.
Planning Perspectives.
One time it was Senior Subjects.
Senior Subjects. I like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
But
it's trademarked, Drew.
I understand. Yeah. I'm gonna steal it. If it's trademarked, I'll take it anyway.
You know, I mean, the point there, though, I mean, it's interesting the name of that, you know, Planning Perspectives, because, you know, with so much of what we're talking about is, you know, sometimes we'll get calls in for people that didn't plan. And so it'd be interesting for you to kind of give some insights and things people can be doing now on the front end, you know, because a lot of times when we get the phone call, it's a crisis situation.
Right.
And there's a lot of things people can do, and they need to be thinking about these things in advance.
Well, and Tom, that the main point to say is advance is, of course, the best thing, but most people give up and think it's too late, you know, and that's not the case. It's never, almost never too late. There are very few people, I'd say 1%, we turn away and say, sorry, there's nothing we can do for you. Mm-hmm. There's usually some savings that can occur.
Absolutely. And, you know, somebody who has $10,000, there's not much you can do for them.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's yeah. really a sorry. But, you know, most people have a $100,000 net worth. So why should they blow through all $100,000 of that if there is a way that they can protect those assets? And it's perfectly legal, you know?
Yes. I mean, the children feel guilty. I see it in their faces. Oh, I'm not trying to take mom's money. I know you're not trying to take mom's money. Your mom wants nothing more than to be able to give a little bit of a legacy to the next generation, mm-hmm. either the children or the grandchildren.
Not to mention, if they can preserve the money from going to the long-term care facility, they could use that money to help mom with enhancements to her life remain over the remaining years of her life anyway.
We see out-of-town children mm-hmm. use that money to send a caregiver to check on mom mm-hmm. at the nursing home.
We see that where out-of-state children use that money to fly in as often as they possibly mm-hmm. can to come see mom and dad.
Who otherwise might not spend that kind of money.
Which, absolutely. Couldn't financially spend that kind of money and so forth.
Yep.
So there's tremendous... Well, anyway, we got a caller. We might as well take it. We're on we're on tonight with Kevin Bress. We're talking about elder care. That's if you have nursing home and assisted living bills that are starting to swamp you and what things you can do to help you with that. And estate planning, estate taxes, wills, trust, powers of attorney, all those
probate.
Kinds of probate, advanced directives. We're going to Linda in Baltimore. Linda, how can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call. I want to know what the Maryland estate tax is now, and is it going to be changed every year?
Well, right now, if you die with more than $1.5 million of assets, Maryland will assess a 10%, roughly 10% tax on the dollars above $1 million that are passing to someone other than your spouse.
Million and a half.
Oh, I didn't say $1.5 million.
You said $1 million the second time.
Second time.
Yeah.
$1.5 million. It is scheduled to increase a little bit each year until it catches up with the federal $5.43 million. So most people are going to, if you can hang in there, Linda, for a couple more years, you're not going to have an estate tax.
So in 2016, would it be $2 million?
Correct.
And 17 is 3, 18 is 4, and 19, it's $5.43 million, but it's basically whatever the federal exemption is. So if you take portability, you will have the full $10.86 million. Is that correct?
And with inflation projections, it'll be a $6 million federal times 2, $12 million.
Yeah.
That just about gets you through, Drew.
And almost, yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right, Linda,
You're welcome.
So we're here with Kevin Bress. We're talking about estate planning, estate taxes, elder care planning. Elder care planning is the one that I think there's so much that can mm-hmm. be done for somebody who has this situation going on, either with a parent or with a spouse, and they're wondering mm-hmm. what can they do. I just had a big case we dealt with, and it was amazing what we were able to help this person with going through this elder care planning and so forth. So anyway, if you want to call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. But right now, you're going to have to hold on. We're going to take a pause with Nick Rehack and Traffic. Nick, tell us what's happening out there. I heard 795 is a mess, but let's hear what's happening now. Take it away, Nick.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And Anita always has that exciting music for us to bring us back on air.
That's some of the dance music at the retirement communities, you know.
I think that's what it was. I think that's what it was. Who is that? That's
almost sounds like Chubby Checkers. I don't know.
Sounds like James Cotton, actually, you know, if you like blues and whatever. Yeah. So we're here with Kevin Bress, and we're talking about estate planning, elder care issues. And, you know, Kevin, we've had many a client. You and I work together where people, you know, a married couple especially, they're the most difficult, especially when you have a younger couple in their 60s and somebody has something like early onset Alzheimer's and so forth. And it can just, I mean, we're talking $120,000 a year for care, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly, for the nursing care. And sometimes you just can't, you can't help but have to put your spouse in a facility like that, even though you do your darndest to keep them out.
Right.
It goes downhill so fast, the doctors say, you've got, for your own sake, you got to get that spouse in a facility.
Yeah. But the thing that a lot of couples don't know is that there are planning techniques that you can use that the community spouse, the healthy spouse, can basically keep a good portion of assets. Not all of them, maybe, but definitely protect a large portion of assets.
It's the least known, understood planning vehicle out there is sheltering assets for a married couple. And, you know, you don't see billboards on the highway about this because it's, let's be honest about it, it's a loophole. It is a loophole in the law.
I would disagree that it's a loophole. I wouldn't say it's a loophole. I say it's the law.
It's the law that those who figure it out get to take advantage of it.
Well, I wouldn't say it's taking advantage of it either because, you know, the government doesn't want you to do it. The nursing home doesn't want you to do it. You know, and there's a lot of people that don't know you can do it, but it's the law. Kevin, it's like somebody says to me, I can deduct my mortgage interest. Okay, that's the law. But you really shouldn't because the government needs the money. Well, I could care less. It's the law.
Right. Well, that's exactly right.
And so I say it's the law. If it's the law, and I got guys like you that know the law and you're going to work it with me and my clients, I am going to take every advantage of it we can.
Yep.
Yeah, it's 1,000% allowable. Doable, it's just not talked about.
Mm-hmm. And it should be. And people should be doing this because I've seen many a couple who refuse to do anything wipe themselves out, and yet they could have protected huge amounts of assets for the good.
Yeah, for the good of everyone. And the other spouse.
And the surviving spouse, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Drew, Tom, I bet I could walk through half the nursing homes in this area and find in every facility 5 to 10 people who could save their money and still do it while they're in the nursing now.
And we're going to talk about, I got a couple callers, but we're going to talk about this. One of the scare things is that if you go on to Medicaid, you're not going to get good care. That is absolutely wrong. You know it's wrong too, right? Trust, Francis in Fulton, how can we help you? Francis?
Yes, I have a question pertaining to a wills and trust. My mother-in-law has at the present time, she's about 76, and she
Francis, your phone is acting weird. Do you have a better cell connection somewhere?
Let me try. Hold on.
All right. He's going outside right now.
Climbing the tree.
He's going on the roof.
Climbing the tree. Right.
All right.
All right. You there?
Going outside right now.
Now he's got to turn the volume down.
Yeah, now he's got to turn the volume down.
Turn off the radio.
Turn off the radio, Francis.
Can you hear me?
No, it's worse.
I can hear me.
All right. Francis, I'm going to put you on hold, and Anita will work with you, try to get you on a better cell. Well, I'm going to drop you and Mary Kay in Cadenceville, how can we help you?
I would like Kevin Brass to explain to me what he knows about a qualified long-term policy.
Well, do you mean the partnership program?
Yes, with the state.
With the state's partnership, yes.
Right. And I think, and Drew, you're more on the front end of these policies than I am, but I think anything written today in Maryland is going to be partnership qualified.
Pretty much anything's going to be a partnership policy. So tell her what it's all about.
The essential feature, which is fantastic, is if you buy insurance that's going to pay out, let's make up a number, $150,000 of nursing home or even assisted living payments, then the state wants to reward you for having done that insurance policy. And they're going to say, once that insurance runs out and your money is starting to get spent, you don't have to spend down to $2,500. You get to get Medicaid at the level of insurance you carried. So you can have $150,000 in the bank and get Medicaid because your policy paid $150,000.
Well, how old, is there an age limit?
No, not at all.
And where do you obtain these?
Pretty much any long-term care insurance policy today is going to have a partnership agreement.
Right.
Except, you know where you're going to get your exception, Kevin, is in a group long-term care mm-hmm. policies. They almost never have the Ooh. Partnership agreement. So you're going to have to do a private policy. And also, I don't think these new hybrid policies are as much partnership-oriented as just a traditional long-term care insurance agent. Mary Kay, if you just ask any long-term care insurance agent.
But I'm 85. I can't get a long-term.
Oh, you can't get them. Yes, you'd have to do it for your daughter or son or grandson or something like that.
So I'm trying to keep a little that money that I have, so I thought maybe this policy would work.
No, that's not going to work for you, unfortunately. You just need to work with a person like Kevin. You spend $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 with Kevin one time, and he'll protect a lot of your assets for you.
Right. Not even that much. But what we do, Mary Kay, is we say what assets are exposed, and we see how we can lock them down so you can protect them.
It's very easy, you know, very actually, Mary Kay. So I'd work with somebody like Kevin and not worry about the partnership policy. That's more for people who are in their 40s or 50s
that
should be looking at that, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. We're going to David on the Eastern Shore. David, how can we help you?
Yes, good evening. My 82-year-old mother, bless her heart, has added me this past year to her four checking accounts, so I am listed jointly with her in the event she becomes incapacitated so that I may...
Hey, David, do you have other brothers and sisters?
No, I'm the only child.
You're the only child. Okay, so your question is there a problem with this?
Yeah.
Okay, and the reason he's asking probably, Kevin, is as I was expounding last week about never putting a house in joint name, and that's a horrible thing to do. I'm just guessing that's why he's asking, is there a problem with these checking accounts being in joint name? So what's your answer?
My answer is great.
That is. It's
perfect. I think it's fine.
Checking accounts, there's a difference between a house and a checking account. Why?
Right. Well, the house, once your name's on that deed and you have an auto accident on a Wednesday night, then you can't get your name off that house and say to a creditor, oh, I don't own it anymore.
It was my mother's house, and she just put it me on there as convenience.
Right. Now, in reality, is what I'm saying ever really happened? Maybe not. But nonetheless, if you try to give back the house while creditors are chasing you, you've got real problems. With a bank account, it's subject to the order of either, meaning either depositor can just take the money and run, and without it being considered a fraudulent conveyance is what it's called. So, but I'm more happy that you have the joint account so you can take care of business for her if she becomes incapacitated or you have to write some checks.
But a house being in joint name with a parent is even more negative from an income tax point of view. So David's name's on a house jointly with his mother in his mother's primary residence. She sells it because she's moving into an independent living facility. Bam! David has 50% income tax liability on the half sale of the house. Mom dies, he only gets a half a step up in basis on a joint ownership of a house. You think you're going to get a full step up in basis. That's because you're going to prove that she was the sole. Now why?
It's a retained interest by mom on a joint. If she adds a child as a joint owner, she still retains an interest in the house and does not. It's not a completed gift. Therefore, it's a full step up. Unless it's tenants in common, then it's a completed gift.
It doesn't work that way, though, with section, 121 for the sale of a personal residence.
Correct, because the title company is going to cut a check to both of them, and he can't wiggle his way out of that.
He can't wiggle his way out of that. So, yeah, okay, so you get the step up, but you're going to lose the section 121. And you got the divorce issue, you got the lawsuit issue, you got all kinds of negative implications of that. That's not true with a checking account.
Right. Poor Dave, he just asked about a checking account, and we got him all over the house.
Right. All right, David?
Thank you very much for your knowledge and opinions. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Nick Rehack, and then we'll come. Is Francis on a better signal now? All right. Francis, you're going to have to hold with us. We're Kevin Bresch. You want to call in 410-922-6680. We're going to Nick Rehack. Take it away, Nick.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
See, there Anita said, I'm tired of him teasing me. I'm going to give him a very good song for the show we're doing, and that's an excellent, good choice there, Anita.
That's a great
so
song.
So anyway, we're here with Kevin Bress. We're talking about elder care planning, estate planning. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. There are lines open. I'm going to Francis. Sorry to keep you. Oh, we lost him again.
Oh, we lost Francis.
Francis. Francis couldn't wait. He was on his robotic Star Trek phone, and you had one of those solar voids come through, you know. Spock! Spock! You know? Anyway, so, you know, we were talking to David a little while ago, and we were saying that joint checking account with mom, not a problem. But the issue, though, was why it wasn't a problem, Kevin, was because David was an only child. Now, not that it's a problem even if you have siblings, but what was the issue that we were talking about during the break?
Well, as an attorney, what I say to people is 99% of what goes right, I don't see. I only see what goes wrong because
right.
they come into my office, the 1%. So the 1% that comes in is the sibling of David who says, my brother forced his way onto mom's accounts. Mom died and he just took and kept all the money. And I
which he legally is able to do.
It is his money. That's right.
Because she put him on as a joint tenant.
With rights of survivorship.
Correct, yeah. So what would you advise a parent to do on the checking account? Because it is wise to have some money liquid that the children can get access to. What would you do?
One is not plaster their name all over everything.
Definitely not. We've already talked about that. But a checking account or two
but even investment, right. So keep one modest-sized checking account. I mean, who keeps more than 10, 20, 30,000 in a checking account, hopefully?
Hopefully no more than 10, but okay.
Right. So if he's on for 10 and the funeral's going to be 8, hey, you know, how far is he going to get?
Right.
But, so that, or if you really have to lock it down, you put David on as under power of attorney.
Right.
And so he can write checks, but he doesn't own the account when mom dies.
Or if the, you know, if the family has a good relationship with all the children, they could put all four kids, three kids down and mom.
That's
nothing
right.
wrong with that.
That's a good point.
You know? Mm-hmm. So if mom dies, now the three of them own it equally.
Right. But while she's alive, he's one of the names on the account that can sign checks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I agree with you. Power of attorney is probably a better way to do it. So
what about transfer on death? You know.
I think transfer on death is great as long as you don't have a complicated estate and so forth. But why don't you address that? Why don't you explain what a transfer on death is and why anybody would even want to do it?
Right. So the two designations are POD, pay on death, or TOD, transfer on death. One's for banks. The second one's for mutual funds, stocks,
brokerage accounts, right.
Right. And the issue with that is, just as you said, Drew, it's great if it's simple Simon-type stuff. To my three kids, a third, a third, a third, TOD, done.
Mom and dad have a house and a brokerage account worth $50,000 or $200,000, just leaving it to the two children outright. You know, no reason for them to go through that whole will process, so they put a TOD on it, right?
That's right.
Very
but
simple.
Then, but I say, what about if one of child has died? Oh, well, here's what I needed to do. I need have to go to this grandchild under uniform, and then I need this. And I say, whoa.
That's right.
The bank is not going to want you to write a will on their form.
You're right.
They're not going to carry
it out. So
it
gets very complicated if you have complications in the situation.
Right.
Or take my brother, who has a child that's a doctor, and my brother's estate's relatively large, and he's leaving all of his children's assets in trust for them so that they don't have any potential complexity with lawsuits or bankruptcies or divorces and so forth. You know, you're not going to want that to go through TOD.
No, but I do have a little trick for that. So
you could do the TOD to the trust.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you could avoid the probate in that regard.
That's the hot new thing that I'm doing a lot of.
Really? Right. You find that as a good thing? I guess there's no reason not to.
Well, like you, as you said, the trust for children, most parents don't understand, oh, I don't want to lock my children's money up in trust. No. It's not locked up. They're the trust. The way I analogize it, it's like giving your kids a key to the car, and nobody else can drive it but them. And the car is the money. So they have access to the car, but it's not their car on the title. It's not in their name. And so if they get sued, divorced, bankrupt, Medicaid, it's not their vehicle.
Yeah, we're doing that. If we have it that each of the children will inherit $500,000 or $1 million or so, we are using that, what we call legacy trust recommendation also. We're saying that you ought to be considering this.
I agree with you. Maybe $300,000-$400,000, some parents will consider it. But, yeah, we don't do it for $100,000 a person.
Yeah, because a trust is not a simple thing, and it's complex, and there are costs involved to maintain a trust, even if you're your own trustee.
Yeah, which makes a tax return.
Which makes some complexity, too. Who do you use as the trustees if you're doing this?
Child's their own trustee.
Do you feel that that would have the same protection on bankruptcy?
Yes, but they need to resign.
So,
quickly.
So here's the deal. Let's address this a little more, okay? So I've got an estate. It's $1.5 million. I've got two children, and I'm leaving it outright to the two children. Both are married. Both seem to have very good marriages and so forth, but I'm not sure. I just want to be sure that my children will have that money to use for the rest of their life, no matter what, and I want it to go down to my grandchildren and stuff, so we leave it in trust, and what does that do for you?
So each child walks off with a suitcase full of half the money, $750,000 by your example. They have the key to the suitcase. They can take the money out and do what they want with it, but to the extent they die and there's still money in that trust, their will may dictate where that money goes, just like it was their money.
So what happens if I leave Johnny $750,000 and Johnny gets divorced 5 years later and Johnny took the money into his own name and then his wife said, well, aren't you going to put that in joint name with me and so forth? So they put it in joint name. 5 years later, Johnny gets divorced. What happens?
He loses half of it.
It's a high probability.
It's a marital property asset.
Yeah, it's a high probability that it will be there if her name goes on it.
Right.
So how does he avoid that?
Keep her name off, and no better way to do it than a trust, because her name cannot go on a trust.
Absolutely. And you know the beauty of the trust concept, if you are at all concerned about that? When Johnny receives the money in his name, and he tells his wife, I'm sorry, Joan, I can't put you on this because I don't want to take a chance that we get divorced and this becomes a marital asset. Think
all
about
of a sudden
how,
they're going to get divorced.
Think about how that sounds, you know?
Or Joni says, let's put in that swimming pool and get that boat. Well,
right.
If it's his money, how does he say no? But if it's trust money, oh, no, let's read the terms of the trust, dear. We're really not allowed to do that, especially the jewelry you wanted me to buy you.
Right. But think about it. The trust, you can say, Mom and Dad left it to trust. He didn't leave it to me. I can't put your name on this.
That's
and
right.
So forth. And now, do you allow the child to designate the spouse as an income beneficiary if the child predeceases their spouse? Am I making myself clear?
Yeah, so if the husband's the beneficiary.
And they have a very good marriage, and they're happily married for 40 or 50 years, and then the husband dies, and he still has the money. Instead of going to the grandchildren, you give them the right to assign it to the wife?
Well, we have to back up a generation. I'm sitting with the parents of that husband.
Okay.
And I'm saying, when your son dies, who do you want to make him leave the money to? Anybody he wants, including the spouse or not the spouse? And they usually say anyone he wants.
You give him a full general power of appointment?
A full limited power of appointment. He can leave it to anybody he wants except himself, his creditors of his estate, or his estate. Yeah.
So does he get a step up on that trust for
Absolutely.
His grandchildren when he passes away?
Absolutely, because it's enough of a retained power in a special power that he gets a stepped up basis.
So you give him a lot of rights, and that's good, because if he has a great marriage and he passes away, you'd want that spouse to continue. But they'll only have an income right in it.
He could set any rules he wants for that.
Really? You would allow him to even liquidate principal if the spouse wants to?
Well, think about it, Drew. 90% of the people, when they come into my office to do planning, they're coming in the office thinking they're leaving the money outright to their children until I show them how they can use a trust. So why are they going to handcuff their children in the trust if they came in the door thinking they were going to give it to them outright.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. I hear you. So we're here with Kevin Bress. We're talking about estate planning, elder care planning. There are a lot of great issues to talk about. If you want to call and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. But we're at a place where we've got to go find out what's going to happen with the weather. And so Mark Thibodeau is going to tell us that. Take it away, Mark.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We got a couple callers online, so we're going to go right to them. Bill in Baltimore, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. My question is in regards to changing age with a trust. So let's say a couple has $500,000 estate and they have two kids, so we want to split it equally. As we change in age and the kids change in age, the reason to leave it in a trust diminishes, right, as they get older. So can you talk a little bit about that, about how that is affected? How often do we meet with a financial advisor to reassess that? That sort of thing.
So he's doing a trust for minors. So now that they're becoming an adult, did he just hang up? Bill, did you just hang up? He's going to listen?
Let's say they're 15 and 17
right
now.
Yeah, so he's just trying to get them into mature age before he gives them a hunk of money. So
here's what I'm doing with that now, Bill. I used to say, oh, what age do you want the children to get the money? 25, half at 30, whatever. What I'm doing now is I'm saying, well, it's already parked in a great vehicle, a trust. Why don't we just use the age as the time when the children become their own trustees of that trust? So the trust continues for the rest of their lives if they so choose to keep the money in there, but they're their own trustee at, say, 30. And so it's their money, but it's protected from everything Drew was talking about before the break, creditors and divorce.
So you gave them the Maserati at 15, but you don't give them the keys until they're 30, and now they get the keys of the trust.
Wait,
and
that's not...
And the
like
title.
A buffer then.
It's what?
The trust acts like a buffer then.
Yeah.
It's an armored plated shell around their money, but they have the key to it.
But there's a lot of advantages to what Kevin's saying there, Bill. You know, we were talking about those earlier. As they get older, they get divorced, they get liability lawsuits, they get bankrupt. You know, there's tons of reasons that it could be of benefit.
Okay.
All right?
Makes a lot of sense. Thank you guys very much.
Sure. All right. Stephen in Baltimore, how can we help you?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I've got a situation. My dad died, and I got put in a nursing home by my sister-in-law. And I have two brothers, so there's three of us. And my dad had the will going to all three of his sons. But now, since my sister-in-law put me in a nursing home, you know, against my wishes, she then went and had my mom go and take the will and have it just split between two brothers and cut me out of the will. I was wondering if there's anything that could be done about that, because I'm not happy about that. Because they have a lot of money. It's, you know, quite a bit of money in two properties.
Well, maybe your mother's not informed that she can certainly leave you your one-third share, but use the trust as a vehicle that should you suddenly not have the ability to pay that nursing home. I mean, let's hope you get out of there if you feel you're not supposed to even be in there, but... If you have future medical problems and mom doesn't want her money just pouring into the cash register at the nursing home, she can set that up so that it's your money in trust for you for everything you need, except it's not going to pay the nursing home. Let Medicaid do that.
Right. Isn't there something like a disabled discretionary fund or trust fund or something?
Yeah, nicknames for it are special needs trust,
discretionary disability trust. Yeah, there's all kinds of names for it. Luxury trust.
My mom, she's 81, and she's not that, her mind is not quite all there. And so I think she was kind of persuaded to do that. So I don't know with with me talking to her if she would change it back.
Very difficult. Very difficult. You know, I don't envy your situation.
Yeah, but only mom controls that.
That's right.
Now, one thing is mom healthy in mind?
No, she takes like an antidepressant or something like that. She does see a psychiatrist.
Well, that's an issue then, Kevin. You know, if they changed the will after Dad passed away and Mom wasn't of sound mind to sign the will, then he could, if he had that old will, he could argue that if he wanted to.
Right.
My mom.
Not easy.
She really didn't want to put me in a nursing home, but my sister-in-law forced her. And I know my mom, it really kind of got her bad, you know, hurt her bad.
But Stephen couldn't go to a nursing home just because they want to put him in a nursing home. They would have to be his guardian.
Yeah, you sound perfectly fine to me. I mean, you control your own destiny, whether it's advisable that you be there or not be there, but that's your call. I mean, you can be homeless if you want. There's no law that prevents you from being where you want to be.
Oh, no, I have pretty bad arthritis.
Right, but you can live where you want.
Right, I mean, there's quite a bit of money, from what I heard, millions. You know, my dad had a lot of stocks and a lot of bonds.
Right.
So I heard the estate, or if that's what you call it.
Well, let me give out my office number.
Go ahead, Kevin, give it out.
We haven't done that all hour, and,
okay.
You know.
Go ahead, hurry up.
410-339.
439?
No, no.
410-339-6767. Okay.
All right,
339-6767.
Yes, that's exactly it, Stephen. I got to run, and that's Kevin Bress, 410-339-6767. Pessin and Katz. Kevin's a great guest. He's a great attorney, a great friend. We've worked with him for 20 years and had everything we've had with him has been incredibly successful. Mm-hmm. So, Kevin, we really appreciate it.
Thanks for that, Drew. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is the end. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.